The season of Advent serves as a bridge. It is a transit, a conduit, from the ordinary to the extraordinary of Christmas. And things that are a part of the season of Advent help transport us across this incredible bridge. Last night we did a really neat event that my family does every year. We went to the Ashland City Parade. I don't know if you've been to the Ashland Christmas Parade. It's kind of huge. It's a neat event. My youngest daughter got to be in one of the floats. And that is a lovely entry point for sort of celebrating the season. But I had a marvelous experience. I didn't even get a chance to communicate this with her, but there was a little piece to the evening that helped me transport a little bit across the bridge of Advent, because I find myself during this season thinking not only of the Christmas that we have, but Christmas is past. And rather specifically, those who are no longer with me to celebrate Christmas that is present. Folks that are part of my life that I have loved, that had a tremendous impact on my life, and things that they liked to do to get ready for the Christmas season. And my grandmother, she was a character, to say the least. She was a marvelous human being, and she was funny, and she was smart, and she was challenging. And she made delicious things for the family. And one of the things that she would make every year in preparation for the Christmas season to have in the house was candied pecans. Candied pecans. My middle daughter, Hannah, actually shows up for the Christmas parade yesterday with candied pecans. And I was like, it made me think about my grandmother. I didn't get a chance to say, by the way, Hannah, thanks for those. That really was a neat little bridge for me. There are a lot of things that help us make that transition from ordinary life to Christmas, but most powerful for me is music. Today, later on, we are going to do one of these incredible musical things that is transportive for me. See, my mother, who passed away when I was young, had an incredible voice. She was a trained vocalist and a tremendous soprano. And every year, well before now, probably actually more in October even, if not November, she would begin training and practicing and singing for Handel's Messiah. And that was sort of my childhood soundtrack that triggered to my awareness that Christmas was coming, was my mother would start singing Handel's Messiah around the house. And I would hear her practicing arias, and I would hear her practicing the pieces. And Handel's Messiah was, and still is for me, very transportive. Makes my heart feel Christmas is coming. Later on today, me and a couple of members of my family, we're going to go over, I think, to Galleon and listen to Handel's Messiah be sung over there. To help us bridge from our ordinary life to this incredible transformative thing that is Christmas. It's what everything that we're doing ought to be about as far as our Christmas preparations go. That's what the season of Advent is about, is helping us make that bridge. It's the wreaths, it's the lights, it's the Christmas trees, it's the angels, it's the nativity sets and the creches. All of these things exist for the express purpose of transporting us from the ordinary to the sublime, from the day-to-day to this incredible experience that is to be the celebration of the birth of Christ. In biblical times, in biblical world, an individual, a person within the community of faith, within Israel, was rather uniquely tasked with the job of serving as bridge between the ordinary and the divine. And that person's task, and the name of their task, was priest. Their job was to stand for the nation of Israel, if you will, bridging between heaven and earth. Their job was to stand before the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, and it was a amazing, important, and terrifying and awful job. When a high priest, and in today's readings, of course, the most important people that are being named are the high priests. The high priest's job was to intervene before God on behalf of the nation of Israel. And when the priests were to enter into the Holy of Holies, among other preparations that they would make, of course, prayers and, you know, offerings and all of that, but they would also tie around themselves some bells and a rope. And as they would go into the Holy of Holies, their job was to make the offering before God. The bell's job was to let people know if God had struck them dead while they were in the Holy of Holies because they'd done something wrong, because you could hear the bell suddenly go jingle, jingle, crash. That kind of told you that the priest was no more. The rope was there to haul him out. So it was both a marvelous and important job and a terrifying job. And so history remembers these individuals who stood before the throne of God because their job was so important, their task was so immense, that getting even the smallest thing wrong, and there's a passage in the Bible that talks about offering strange fire before the Lord, resulting in horrible, horrible consequences. Even the smallest misstep might result in horrible tragedy, not just for the priests, but for the people of Israel, because the people of Israel needed someone to stand between heaven and earth and make the sacrifice for their sin. But we're told that things changed when Jesus was on the cross and the sky darkened and he breathed his last. The curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was torn in two. It was a way of demonstrating that God's Holy Spirit was no longer in the temple, no longer bound in that location, and didn't need to be, because there no longer needed to be an intermediary, someone to stand before the nation of Israel and bridge the gap, offer some form of sacrifice and prayers, because we had a new priest. Jesus Christ is our priest. He is the bridge that separates, that takes that separation between heaven and earth and completely bridges the gap. He is the thing that takes us from this life into the next life. He is the thing that takes us from our broken state to our forgiven state. We live in a world that is increasingly struggling with the question of what is sin? What is forgiveness? Why do I need to be forgiven of my sins? We live in a world, actually, that is rather fond of, instead of seeking forgiveness for sins or being more diligent about avoiding them, we live in a world that increasingly celebrates it and says, well, maybe instead of just not trying to be a sinner, what if instead I just called it a lifestyle choice? What if I instead said, well, you know, that's just how life is now, and I'm proud of who I am because I don't have to try to be good. Instead, I'm going to be proud of the fact that I'm bad, because now I say bad is good. It's a tough world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ into. But it doesn't change the fact that humans are still broken. Doesn't change the fact that we still suffer. Doesn't change the fact that we still feel all of the emptiness that comes from being broken. We can call it whatever we want to call it. We can paint it however we want to paint it. I've never met a human in my life who did not in their heart have something for which they suffered. A fear, lots of fears. Anxiety, lost, uncertain, crushed by a feeling of unworthiness, unlovableness. All of these things humans carry in our hearts, because it is a very essence of what it means to be broken, to be sinners in this world. to know that we stand incomplete in each and every one of our lives. There's this really great psychological concept. It's called the imposter syndrome. The imposter syndrome is when you are given an achievement, or you've achieved an achievement. You've worked towards something, and yet when you've accomplished this thing, you stand back and you think to yourself, I hope no one sees how unprepared I am, how unready I am, how unworthy I am, because whatever it is that I've accomplished, I'm not worthy of it. The fact that we as human beings have to have a term for having achieved something and not be able to enjoy the benefits of it is proof of how broken we are. Our priest, our high priest, our high priest who lives forever and stands before the throne of God for us, not just today and tomorrow, but forever and ever and ever, is Jesus Christ through our resurrected Lord. And he is different than any human priest that ever stood before the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem, because he does not need to bring a sacrifice. He is the sacrifice, and it has already been made, and it was sufficient for the totality of human sin. There is no brokenness within us greater than the offering that Jesus Christ made. His sacrifice is sufficient. So that we know that each and every one of us, no matter how broken we feel, how incomplete we feel, or whether we stand before the throne of God suffering from massive quantities of imposter syndrome, it doesn't matter. Because all of that brokenness is forgiven. All of that uncertainty and unwillingness to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that stands between us and the certainty of our forgiveness. We have a priest, a high priest, that we celebrate during the season of Advent, who has already accomplished for us everything that we need accomplished. We are wholly and completely forgiven. Not in part, not some. If we question whether we are worthy, we only have to look as far as the cross. If God did not choose to give us this gift, there would never have been a cross. But God chose to offer this incredible sacrifice for our sins, because he deemed us deserving, I don't know, worthy, I don't know, but graced with God's presence, love, and forgiveness that overcomes everything. The season of Advent is here to help us to understand that Christ is the bridge that overcomes our brokenness, that leads us to stand before the throne of God, not as broken, incomplete, and unwhole, but as loved, forgiven, renewed, people with new life. It's supposed to be that song that helps us bridge that gap. So as we celebrate the season of Advent, and we think about what it means to be God's people here on this earth, may we look at ourselves and see all of the brokenness, all of the incompleteness, because there's not a one of us, not a human being on the face of the planet that can look in the mirror and say, completely unbroken and sinless, I'm perfect. No, we all look in the mirror and we all see the things we are completely aware of that aren't what they should be. And then we need to see ourselves standing before the throne of God, not incomplete, not broken, but clothed in a holiness that comes from Christ himself, clothed in his grace, clothed in his mercy, fully, wholly, and completely made as we are supposed to be made, forgiven and renewed by the act of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who has offered himself for us as a sacrifice and stands before the throne of God forever and ever, our advocate. And this we take great hope in. Amen.